You're listening to Teach Me the Bible Podcast, where we unpack the meaning of books, passages, and themes from Scripture. Join us each week as Dr. David Klingler walks us through God's Word and teaches the Bible. Each episode has a study guide available in the show notes. This is Teach Me the Bible Podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Teach Me the Bible Podcast, where our mission is helping the people of God understand the Word of God. We're thankful you're here with us today as we begin our study in the book of Hebrews. So we're going to spend a little time today introducing the book as we do all these books. And then we're going to, after this week, we're going to kind of dive into it a little bit deeper. Chapter by chapter, we might take some chapters together, but we're going to split it up a little bit and spend some time actually digesting the details of this book. But before we do that, just in case you're brand new with us today, if you've been with us for a while, then you'll know everything I'm about to say. But if you're new, I want to encourage you to check out teachmethebible.com. We have all kinds of resources over there. It's an ever-growing database of podcasts and blog posts and different papers and all kinds of different things to help you understand the Word of God. And so we love putting that out for you, and we hope that you go over there and engage with it, that you share it with your friends and your family. But today, we are in Hebrews, and so we're going to kind of kick this thing off, orient ourselves to what's going on, and then we're going to dive in next week to chapter one. So let's take it away.
Yeah. So Hebrews. Hebrews is written to Hebrews.
There we go. All right.
Problem solved.
Episode over.
Yeah, episode over. There you go.
That's good.
Now, if we orient ourselves a little bit on what was going on at this time, and we learn this, you don't have to go into any kind of intertestamental literature or you know, early church history. I think you can just pick this up from the storyline.
Yeah.
Christ has appeared. He does the signs that demonstrate that he is the promised one of the Old Testament. It was witnessed by his disciples who were sent out, so now they're called apostles. And they proclaim Christ. And Israel rejects the Lord. Now, not all of Israel does, but for the most part, and increasingly so as the New Testament times progress, Israel is increasingly rejecting Christ. And you get this in the book of Acts, right? And so now the gospel is going to the Gentiles. But there are Jews, Israelites, who have believed. Mm-hmm. And when you believe, and you can pick this up in the Gospel of John, in the Upper Room Discourse, you know, John is recording that Jesus is explaining what's going to happen to his disciples. But these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. He continues, that's in chapter 15, verse 21. Verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1. These things I have spoken to you that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. Mm-hmm. And this is playing out even in the Gospel of John, that anyone who was confessing Jesus to be the Christ, they're going to make him an outcast in the synagogue. And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, we think, well, you know, just go to the local, you know, Baptist or, you know, Presbyterian church, whatever, you know, go to the local Catholic church, whatever it is.
Just walk a couple blocks.
Yeah, just go to the Christian church. You don't have to go to the synagogue. But, you know, the synagogue was the only place where you could go and get a copy of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. The scriptures were taught, fellowship with, you know, with God's chosen people. Mm-hmm. And so it was a big deal to be banished from the synagogue. Mm-hmm. And the Pharisees were, were saying that if anyone was believing in Christ, they were going to put him out of the synagogue. This is the Gospel of John. Think about Paul's ministry. Paul's going around. He's not going around to, you know, local Christian churches. He's mm-hmm. he's going from synagogue to synagogue, cleaning out this, what he viewed to be, this is Saul of Tarsus, mm-hmm. right? Before he was, came to know Christ, he was going from synagogue to synagogue, cleaning out this, yeah. what he viewed to be this cult this false teaching that was teaching that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. And so, and so this is the problem.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. Sorry to interrupt, but it's so easy for us and imagine for our listeners as well to just read our current circumstances into the text all the time. And it's really challenging. You have to really be disciplined to carry the context of that time, namely that people didn't have copies of scripture as we do today, little pocket Bibles and things like that. These things
were on their phone or whatever.
I mean, these things, like I worked in a biblical museum and we had a Torah scroll, just the first five books of the Bible. That thing weighed hundreds of pounds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was contained in these synagogues. And so you don't just carry around Bibles with you or take them home and study them. Yeah. You had access to them only through traveling to the
No podcasts. Yeah. No, you know, exactly. You went to the synagogue where the word was taught.
Yep.
And they had and the word was read.
Yeah.
And so this was a big deal. Mm-hmm. So these Israelite Jewish believers, first century, under persecution, and they're apparently considering, and why wouldn't you? I mean, I think that this would only make sense for them to consider this, to say, well, can't we just believe in Christ and continue to do the law thing, continue to participate in the sacrificial system and continue to, you know, to just go along with the teachings of the synagogue.
Right. So that we're not
So they're not persecuted and outcast and all that. And the short answer is no. Mm. And let me explain why. That being kicked out of the synagogue is worth it. And let me explain why. So the author of Hebrews, and we don't know who it is, and I won't speculate on who it was. All that we would say is it's someone in Paul's inner circle. Some say that it maybe was even Paul himself. But certainly very Pauline in his thinking, for sure, is explaining why these readers should stand firm in their faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And the argument's really pretty simple, right? It goes something like this. If the Lord judged Israel in the Old Testament for rejecting the words of angels or rejecting the words of Moses. And of no angel did God ever say, this is my son. Moses was just the keeper of the house. He didn't build it, right? And so if Christ is greater than angels, and when they rejected the words of messengers, angels, they were laid low. The Lord disciplined them. What would that look like? He killed them. When they rejected the words of Moses, it didn't go well for them.
He killed a whole generation in the wilderness.
Yeah, wipes out a whole generation in the wilderness. He's going to say this. If this one is greater than angels, if he's greater than Moses, if he's greater than the priests, if he's greater than bringing a greater covenant, a better covenant, and if God judged all those things in the Old Testament, and this one's greater, do you think it will go better for you to reject him? Oh, I don't think so. No. There's only one path, and it's the path forward, and it's the path of endurance, right? And so endure. And so chapters 1 through 10 are going to lead you to chapter 11. That's how it works, right? There's a logical progression here. And so in chapter 11, he says, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction. That's how he sums up end of chapter 10. But to those who have faith, to the preserving of the soul. So let me give you some examples. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac and Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Joshua. And all the others. And if none of them, right, he says, time would fail me if I went on to Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. We'd be here all day, who by faith conquered kingdoms and performed acts of righteousness and obtained promises and shut the mouths of lions. You think of of Daniel there, and quenched the power of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness were made strong, became mighty in war. And we're going, oh, this is all sounding pretty good. Mm-hmm. Women received back their dead by resurrection. You can think of the First Kings and Elijah and Elisha stories, and others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might attain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, and all of a sudden it turns pretty dark. And chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were tempted. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted and ill-treated. Think of John the Baptist, for example. Mm-hmm. Men of whom the world is not worthy, wandering in the deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. All of these, and here's his point, all of these, having gained approval through their faith, approval from God through their faith, never received what was promised. Because God had provided something better for us. So apart from us, they should not be made perfect. So, endure. Mm-hmm. Consider Christ.
So they didn't receive what was promised, but they endured through the suffering.
They endured in spite of it.
Yeah.
And so you're in need of endurance as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's his point. So whatever you're doing, chapters 1 through 10, if you don't get to chapter 11 in your understanding of 1 through 10, mm-hmm. then you're not understanding 1 through 10.
Right.
And if chapter 11, he gives the examples of faith. Chapter 12, then he's going to say, therefore, you're in need of endurance. It is for discipline that in you endure, for God deals with you as sons. For what son is there that the father doesn't discipline? If you're without discipline, of which you become all partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them, and they disciplined us for just a short time. But he, the Lord, disciplines us for holiness. So there ain't, no discipline is fun while you're in it, right? But it's not joyful, but sorrowful. Yet those who've been trained in it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. There's some message for our culture broadly, but specifically. Therefore, strengthen the hands of the weak and the knees of the feeble, and make straight the paths of your feet. And so now in the end of chapter 12 and chapter 13, it's all of these imperatives to encourage the fellow believers who are in need of endurance, mm-hmm. right? And so endure, mm-hmm. endure, stay the course, run the race, keep the faith, fix your eyes on Christ, the beginner and finisher of the faith.
Right.
And so all of this book is going to just make real simple sense. But in each of these passages, we're going to get into talking about warning passages, and we're going to talk about, did they lose their salvation or not lose their salvation? The point is, those who rejected the word were disciplined, right? And if you reject the word of the Lord, if you hear the word, as long as today is today, if you reject it, you'll be disciplined as well. Mm-hmm. And that will not go well for you.
Yeah.
So don't do it.
Yeah. Right. That's a good point to be made too with what we talked about. He laid that whole generation low in the wilderness. He disciplined, chastised them. But right before that, we talked about in other episodes we've done, and they were delivered out through faith in the Passover lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And so these were people who had placed their faith, but then they rejected.
They were delivered by faith. They were called to walk faithfully, and they chose not to.
Right.
And so the Lord disciplined them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't put yourself in that camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, and Paul talking about these people who, tearing down the body of Christ, dividing the body of Christ, and they're under the discipline of God. This is why some of you are sick and some of you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a real simple letter. It's written to believers who are considering going back to the sacrificial system. They're being warned not to. And if you do, you'll be disciplined. And if you get that, you got the letter. And so that's what we'll be talking about for the next several weeks.
Good. Yeah, there'll be some practical stuff here.
Sure.
We're not Jews being tempted to go back to the sacrificial system. And I'm willing to bet most of our listeners are not either.
Right.
But there's a lot of this is stuff we need to hear in terms of enduring in our faith in midst of trials and persecutions and things. So.
Yeah, this has been the marching orders of every believer from Abel till the end of this story.
Yeah.
Endure.
Absolutely.
Persevere. And so we'll find the same things here.
Very good. Well, I know I'm excited. Thanks for tuning in this week. Next week, come back. We're going to jump into chapter one, and we're going to just take it bit by bit through this book so that you understand it. We want you to see not just what we said today. We want you to see how the author makes that argument in the text so that you know that you know that you know. So,
yep, absolutely. All right,
we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast. Our desire is to use the power of God's Word to change lives. For more information, download our app. Join us next week for another episode of Teach Me the Bible.